AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Steve Kathan. In some California communities inundated by rising floodwater, people are on the move. Fire Captain Brian McGrath handling evacuations in Ventura County.
We need to get everyone out of the area to higher ground, to a place of safety, as well as let's get to these shelters so that way we can get warm and dry.
The stormy weather has caused damage that's affecting travel.
This part of the 101 highway has just been engulfed by mud, and this is one of the reasons that this part of the highway has been closed off in both directions. You do have, obviously, emergency crews driving through this muddy area, but they're going very, very slowly. They have to be very, very careful, and it's unclear when Highway 101 will reopen between Los Angeles and Santa Barbara. Steve Futterman, CBS News, along Highway 101 in Ventura, California.
Well, now to Washington, CBS's Stephen Portnoy tells us Republicans are sounding off about documents marked classified that were found at a think tank that bears President Biden's name.
The Ohio Republican, who's set to chair the House Intelligence Committee, is requesting a national security damage assessment. In his letter to the Director of National Intelligence, Congressman Mike Turner notes that the Biden papers marked classified were kept, quote, at an undisclosed and unsecure non-government office in Washington, D.C. for a period of at least 6 years. The White House says the president's personal lawyers immediately reported the discovery of the documents in early November, and that the papers were turned over to the National Archives the following day.
Well, President Biden today is in Mexico alongside Canada's Justin Trudeau at a regional summit.
We're in the process at home, and you are as well. We've talked about it. Strengthening our supply chains so that no one can arbitrarily hold us up or a pandemic in Asia cause us to not have access to critical elements that we need to do everything from build automobiles to so many other things.
Virginia officials say human error allowed the mental health history of a would-be state trooper to be ignored. The man, who was hired but later quit, took his own life last year after kidnapping a California teen and killing three of her family members. CBS's Jim Krasula has more now on new action from a sports league cracking down on bad behavior.
The National Women's Soccer League has permanently banned four coaches and announced a disciplinary action against several other persons and teams. The move is in response to an investigation into alleged abuse and misconduct. It found, quote, widespread misconduct directed at players dating back nearly a decade.
And checking Wall Street, right now the Dow is up 58 points. The S&P 500 is up about 9 points. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matinere with your headlines. Some We Energy's customers this month opening bills much higher than usual. Mike Oslin from Juneau telling WISN News his latest bill was $430 compared to the $180 he usually pays. We Energy spokesman Brendan Conway blaming the cost of natural gas and the brutally cold weather in December. Conway says save money by turning the thermostat down, especially when you're not home or before bedtime. If you have information on criminal activity involving Frank Schumann, the Vilas County Sheriff's Office wants to talk to you. Schumann under investigation for more than 6 months for numerous offenses against women, including substantial battery, false imprisonment, recklessly endangering safety, and strangulation. Schumann arrested January 7th for substantial battery is being held on a $15,000 cash bond. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. We talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. On an earlier edition, we talked to three women, med students, about whether they're going to stay in Wisconsin to practice medicine.
All of this Roe v. Wade stuff, and now OBGYN's hands are so tied. I don't want to go through 12 years of training to have some person that didn't do training tell me how to do my job.
It is not a binary choice. You're for or against abortion. It is a healthcare decision. We all have those stories, and people want to hear them.
Don't miss the real stories here on Up North News.
A progressive voice for rural Wisconsin. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. That is Jane Matner laying that Easter egg for us as we are about to talk about milk, more specifically dairy farmers. And tomorrow is National Milk Day, so with Mr. Greg Bach, we'll figure out something
wonderful,
silly
and wonderfully
funny
and milky
to do for that, because we are the dairy state. But unfortunately, Wisconsin dairy farms losses hit a three-year high as more call it quits. And so here to talk more about the obstacles and what the path forward might look like, if there is one at all, is returning champ Pam Yonke from the Midwest Farm Report. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks, guys. Happy New Year. Glad to be back.
Happy New Year. So how do we make sense of the fact that milk prices are high, but then at the same time, Wisconsin dairy farm losses are at a three-year high? Because those two things feel like with higher prices should come more relief for our family farmers, our organic farmers, but that doesn't seem to be the case.
Well, the catch is that, yes, 2022 treated our dairy farmers of all types pretty well as far as the money was concerned, but input costs were incredibly high.
Yeah.
The same two elements that I hear from dairy farmers this year, I heard last year, can't find good labor. That is in Wisconsin agriculture as a whole, that is one of our greatest challenges right now, especially at this time of the year. Stop and imagine, today is a pretty mild day, but remember right before the holidays when we got the full frontal slap of what Mother Nature can do?
Mm-hmm.
Now imagine you're going out to the barn morning, sometimes middays and night, taking care of those animals, just trying to get them through, trying to keep things thawed, trying to keep equipment moving, and you're doing that 7 days a week. And if you don't have somebody to give you a little bit of a break, that is physically grueling. It is another one of the jobs in Wisconsin agriculture that requires you to show up. You can't do this from your living room. You can't do it via a smartphone, not yet anyhow. And honestly, speaking as a dairy kid myself, it is the grind.
Yeah.
A lot of the money that may have been made in 2022 was spent on high input costs, energy. Feed was incredibly expensive. Fertilizer to grow that feed was incredibly expensive. But I get back to the labor. I've joined you folks before and reminded people to think about quality of life. Why do we expect dairy farmers and their families to not have the same quality of life that we enjoy? Being able to take a vacation, being able to have a sick day. None of that is a foregone conclusion for Wisconsin dairy farm families. If you get sick, you still go to the barn. They call it work ethic. Well, okay, but it's something that many of us would not condone. And then you talk about trying to take a vacation. If you don't have reliable help that are going to feed the calves, milk the cows, you don't go anywhere. So like I said, the older I get and the more I see these numbers, the numbers don't change. Our trends have not changed for probably 40 years. We're not adding dairies. So the headline is always going to be striking to you. But when I look around my friends and my life is agriculture, I see that it's more of a quality of life decision. My body hurts. I can't find help. The next generation doesn't want to take over the operation as it is. And I don't want to take all of my retirement money to upgrade it.
Yeah.
The farm is our retirement. So we have to make some wise decisions about that. Now, as I've told you before, again, the headline is a little deceiving. Yes, we lost dairy farms, but we didn't lose dairy cows. We haven't lost dairy production. A lot of the farms that remain out there are, as I mentioned before, multi-generational. And it doesn't necessarily mean dad and son. It could be two brothers and their boys coming together. They add on more cows, but they've got more people to pitch in and do the work. So that model is working. I've also seen a lot of people with regard to labor, robotic milking. You can't find reliable labor. I can make an investment in technology that will at least give me one milking off, two milkings off, something where I can catch my breath if I'm sick, if there's a funeral, if there's a wedding, I have a doctor's appointment, the robots will take care of milking the cows till I get back around. So there are those stories that are going on out there as well. But people, do not ever expect to see a headline that says Wisconsin gained 100 new farms. That era is past. And like I said, just stop and think about the quality of life. If you can't imagine yourself going out and trying to thaw water pipes at minus 30, trying to keep an animal going and trying to do it all by yourself, well, now you know why some of the farmers have decided it's time to hang it up.
Absolutely. I think it was summer 2021. I spent a day out of dairy farm in Jefferson County with Carrie Mess, and that was very much my takeaway. She's like, if I get I can't take a vacation, the cows still have to get milked. And I was only there for the afternoon. I wasn't there for the morning milking. I've just seen the work that goes in every day and day after day after day. And so, as you just said, Pam, with your life being agriculture, do you see this as a bad thing, or is it just is?
Well, I never like to see anybody exit agriculture. And remember, although many of the numbers that were shared in that article are specific to dairy, there's no follow-up. Many of those dairy farms are still going to, you don't sell the land. You don't necessarily sell the farm. You let the cows go. So they are still growing corn and soybeans. Maybe they're going to bring in some beef. Maybe they're going to do hogs. That's what I see happening very, very often. Once you love this industry, you can't give it up. I mean, you just want something a little easier. Yeah. So that land will stay with that family generally, or the neighbors will run it. It will stay in agriculture. So I see a lot of that. And you know, like I said, I also am encouraged when I see other people. Dairy farmers are a perfect example. They don't realize their worth.
Hmm.
And I don't mean that financially. I mean, they don't realize they do so many things that the rest of us would be standing scratching our head. They weld. They are electricians. They're nutritionists. They are accountants. They are all these things, but they only identify with the cows. So when the cows go, oh my goodness, now what? And so there's a lot of support out there to try to help those farmers understand, hey, listen, you can do this. Come work with me here. So they stay, if they want to, they stay a part of the ag workforce if they want to. But like I said, the story has been the same since I got into the business. Farmers are aging.
Mm-hmm.
The average age of the farmer out there in Wisconsin is right around my age. We're pushing 60 now. And after a while, like I said, your body may just want to give up, and you may not want to absolutely eliminate all of your retirement income by trying to do an upgrade on the facilities so you just can keep milking cows on what turns out to be a crapshoot when it comes to the price you're going to be paid in 2023.
We're talking to Pam Yonke, who is from the Midwest Farm Report, about a new headline story that came out as far as milk prices being strong, but we're losing dairy farms again for the third year in a row. But I think that's interesting what you said. It's not necessarily that we're losing capacity, which that you're right, that headline doesn't, it makes it, and there's this nostalgia. I'm not a farm kid. but I am a proud Wisconsinite. And there is this, you know, mental connection that we see with dairy and with our farmers. And so that headline makes me feel sad almost, right?
And, Oh, sure.
When you explain it, it's interesting because, you know, what part of what I read is that the price for beef is so high right now that the record profit that this might be a good time for some of these farmers to sell the cows is part of the reasoning of why now. And it's interesting as far as the effect that it has beyond our own nostalgia, it hasn't lowered capacity at all. And so is when you read something like this for the average consumer, or the average Wisconsinite, what should the takeaway be? Just sympathy or empathy for people get older and this is a labor intensive job.
Oh, I'll always take sympathy. I mean, people, there's so much that goes on in Wisconsin agriculture that's just flat out hard work.
Yeah.
I mean, the hours, not necessarily just this time of the year, but stop and think about when it comes to spring planting. Now you're not only feeding calves, milking cows, feeding animals. Now I got to go get on a tractor and drive until midnight planting and then get back up and do it all over again. So when I appreciate the sympathy, the empathy from anybody on what they take for granted when they go to the grocery store. But I myself, you know, it's all, are you glass half full, glass half empty? I live and breathe this industry and I see what's happening out there. And like I said, those cows may be going to a neighboring farm. The beef issue that you brought up is a great one. Because of what happened in the West, and I don't want to deviate too much off our dairy numbers, but quick clarification. So the drought we heard about last year in the West, right? A lot of those beef producers had to make some very difficult decisions and let animals go. They didn't have feed. They didn't have water. So they had to liquidate animals into the beef chain faster than they wanted. Okay, those animals are gone. You can't snap your fingers and make a market-ready steer appear tomorrow. That takes time. So we've got a lag. But our dairy producers have started to breed their dairy cows with beef bulls to fix that short gap measure. And the beef industry loves it. So again, dairy farmers are the most creative people you are going to find on God's little green earth. And they will find a way to be resilient if they want to. And I say, God bless them if they decide, I'm done. It's time for me to retire and go to the grandkids' basketball game and go to the grandkids' wrestling match. The cows went to my neighbor who I've known all my life. The land will continue to produce. I'm ready to retire.
Yeah.
Pam, we don't have much time left. Do we need immigration reform? Would this help as far as the worker shortage in our agriculture industry?
All of agriculture. It's not just about milk and cows. It's about meat processing. It's about what happens when the crops are needing to go in the ground and who's going to deliver that fertilizer. It is all of the above. So again, yes, we need common sense reform on how that program can work with production agriculture.
That was the question I really wanted to ask. So thank you, Jane, for asking. And so that's probably a different topic we'll have to bring you back for, because I think that is fascinating to have the overlap between immigration and so many of the people who've always done the work as they've come to the country that no one else wants to do. And so for another time, but Pam Yonke, thank you for joining us. We'll have you back soon. And I hope you have a great day.
Thanks, ladies. Appreciate the time.
All right. When we come back, across the pond, there's a new book coming out. So we're going to talk a little bit about the drama around Prince Harry, because why not? This is As Goes Wisconsin. Stick around.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page or Squarespace. or Google My Business or WordPress? But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. A mix of clouds and sun this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 43. Winds out of the south around 5 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight. Lows level off around 28. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 40. About an inch of snow Thursday through Thursday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 43 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Such formal music.
Very dramatic.
So, are you, I mean, you're married to a Brit.
I am.
Do you consider yourself a royalist? Is that what they're called? People who are obsessed with royal
fans?
Family?
I am an ist.
An ist.
An ist.
You're not.
I'm not totally, no.
But you're not, like, obsessed.
No.
But you care.
I follow along a little bit. This
drama
doesn't really interest me.
I have to admit, I'm not particularly. I mean, I am to a certain extent as far as I remember what I was doing when Princess Diana was killed. I was literally home as a kid on a Saturday night watching SNL, and they cut in to SNL to the breaking news. And I remember that, and I remember her funeral, and I remember in 2008 being home and William and Kate's wedding, and we watched it, and my mom had me like wear her veil. And it was a long time before I actually ended up getting married, but I did use that veil to make my own veil.
Oh, that's so cool.
But you know what? I think I watched Harry and Meghan's wedding, I don't know. Like it's fine. It feels like it's something that's put upon me, and it wouldn't be something that I would seek out.
Yeah.
If it was not always just such big news
or necessarily miss.
Yes. And I have to admit, to a certain extent, this never-ending press tour of Harry and Meghan, and I get it. Meghan was treated terribly. The British press sounds awful. How it seems like the family and the firm threw them under the bus seems awful. But how mentally do you just not, like, at what point is it enough to talk about it beyond before you just want to move on with your own life? And if this is what catharsis looks like for them, but it also pays well.
Apparently.
So the reason we're bringing this up is because Prince Harry's book comes out today. And it's called Spare. And you probably already knew that, though, because he had multiple interviews that on 60 Minutes, Michael Strahan interviewed him. And some of the dirty laundry came out there. There's been leaks from the book that have come out. So, like, different confirmation that Harry called Prince William's baldness alarming and allegations that Camilla fed stories to the press about Harry in exchange for positive PR on her, and bombshells as like Harry's circumcision status and his frostbitten situation at William and Kate's wedding. But this is all stuff in the book that, you know, most likely a ghostwriter wrote. But the book deal, it's a four book deal between Harry and Meghan, and it's like $40 million.
Wow.
And that's not, I don't think, even including what they got paid to do the documentary with Netflix.
Right.
They also have a podcast exclusive with Spotify. So just the amount of money they're making on their situation is insane. And we are all here just to, I guess,
lap
either
it up.
Indulge in it if you are very into this kind of thing, or tolerate it as it is headlines that you can't avoid.
It's a real life soap opera. In some ways it is. You know, can you think of people who are more privileged than the British royal family and to have this level of dysfunction? In some ways, I guess I find it reassuring because...
That there's problems no matter where.
No, every family has issues. Nobody is the Cleavers.
All right. Well, I thought it'd be fun to do a little bit of a quiz, a Prince quiz, instead of talking more about the salacious details of this book. All right. Number one, who is the current heir apparent to the British throne?
Prince William.
Yep. Number two, he was West Philadelphia, born and raised... Think outside the box of princes.
Prince the singer?
West Philadelphia, born and raised.
Oh, the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Will Smith.
All right. Number three, Aladdin's alter ego in the Disney film. Think of...
Robin Williams.
No, that's the genie. What was Aladdin's name when he became the prince? Which prince?
I have no idea.
Prince Ali,
Splendid
is he, Ali Baba. I don't know this one. I had to look this one up. The title of a novella by Antoine de Saint-Exupéry. Oh, it's a famous book. Once you actually look it up, I didn't know the author.
Descartes. I don't know.
The Little Prince.
Oh,
yeah, I didn't know who the author was.
That's a classic book.
The current Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia.
Mohammed.
No, close. Well, it is Mohammed. Mohammed bin Salman. There's a lot of Mohammeds, though. It is the most popular name in the entire world.
That's why I went with that.
Where do you think Jesus is on that list?
Jesus is probably up there.
Not a lot of American-born,
no.
Like Jesus. Like,
no.
There's not a lot of like strong... Hard J.
No.
Jesus. But there's a lot of Jesuses.
Yes.
All right. This is the last one. The second of the seven novels of the Chronicles of Narnia.
The Prince in the Wardrobe.
I think it's The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
I thought it was all Prince related.
It is Prince Caspian.
Oh.
There you go. I got that from... My new favorite morning newsletter, Morning Brew. But there's other princes of the world. I like the Fresh Prince one. You were just deer in headlights. Like, what are you talking about?
All I could think of was Prince from Minneapolis.
That would have been another good one. It was always funny to me to think about that Prince is from Minneapolis. You'd think he'd be from like...
Somewhere cooler?
Queens. Yeah.
Somewhere a little rougher?
Somewhere not as...
Minnesota.
Inferior to Wisconsin.
Not quite as Minnesota.
All right. Well, we have some more entertainment to do when we come back because the Golden Globes are back. Did you remember that they canceled it last year?
No.
And there was no Golden Globes last year? Because I sure forgot that. But it is back tonight. And I thought we'd go through the things that are nominated and how many we have or have not actually seen. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Bringing some sanity to the airwaves. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
CBS News Brief. California is getting swamped by severe weather. CBS's Steve Futterman is in Ventura.
The rains, which have really battered the Golden State, are going to continue, and we're going to see probably more mudslides, more landslides, as the hillsides just cannot handle much more water.
Mudslides are forcing some communities to evacuate. The Justice Department is reviewing classified documents found at President Biden's former office at his D.C.-based think tank. Kentucky Republican Congressman James Comer is the incoming chair of the House Oversight Committee.
What's the difference in what President Trump did versus what we now know President Biden did?
CBS News was the first to report that review. And President Biden does plan to meet again with the leaders of Canada and Mexico later today.
Today we're going to discuss how we can try to help stabilize Haiti, how we can deal with migration, and at the same time bolster our national security.
CBS News Brief, I'm Monica Ricks.
The SHA 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Muskego to Pewaukee, always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. Governor Evers says he won't support a flat tax or universal school choice. Evers tells the Upfront program those proposals are bad for Wisconsin's bottom line. Majority Republicans who control the state legislature support both ideas. The governor will deliver his budget plan next month, then lawmakers will spend the next few months revising it. The boy accused of killing Lily Peters in Chippewa Falls won't find out if his trial is moving to adult court until August. The judge in the case is turning down a prosecutor's request to move that hearing up to June. The suspect's lawyer says he can't prepare his case that quickly. 10-year-old Lily was assaulted and killed last year. In sports, the Bucks beat the Knicks last night 111-107. Tonight, the Badgers host Michigan State. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Catch Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow at its brand new time, 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays.
The city of Shanghai started administering an inhalable COVID-19 vaccine. I hear a lot of you saying the same thing I had in my head. I don't know about that.
As long as they're not just crop dusting everyone.
Crop dusting, that's exactly what I think people would be fearful of. I would not trust the Chinese government. I would trust people who really know about inhaling something and the good that it does you. Of course, I'm talking about Dom and Crute.
Look through your children's eyes, and you will discover the true magic of a forest.
Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Back to As Goes Wisconsin. No matter where you're listening, across the Civic Media Network or on the Civic Media app, which you can download in your app store. Thanks for tuning in. If you miss any part of today's show, you can always listen to it as a podcast, which you can find at asgoeswisconsin.com or Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, wherever. And also, as always, you can join the conversation, 844-967-2789. And question of the segment, are you going to watch the Golden Globes tonight?
You know, I will probably watch the red carpet.
Really?
Yeah. Because I'm upset. You know how, because I'm petty. So I love watching people who are far wealthier and far more better looking than I am. And then I can judge them and say, that's what you picked to wear.
So you can just bring them down a notch?
Yeah. That's what you chose.
Okay. I feel like the red carpet is the most boring part because the questions I get asked are so...
Oh, I don't keep the sound on. It's nothing
it's
about...
Just
no,
the, it's just for the looks.
What are you wearing? And all right. Cover them up this year, can we?
Oh, that'll be interesting. Maybe that'll be a topic. How much boobage is there?
Oh, there's going to be...
How many nipples are there going to be on the red carpet tonight?
There's going to be tons.
Brian Kelly just gave me a look saying nipples. What? Well, I totally forgot. So I, as you can probably imagine, as someone who wanted to be an actor when I was a kid, I loved award shows. And I think when I actually remember to watch them, I still like award shows. I think, you know, I'm not one of the people who, you know, shut up and dribble to athletes.
Stay in your lane.
Yeah, stay in your lane and all political the speeches can be. But I'm a softie when it comes to a lot of those speeches of how heartfelt or the message that they end up having. Because it's also, it's performers performing a speech. And a lot of times, if they're winning an award, they're pretty good at it. And so they make you feel something when they get up there and they emote in front of you.
That's a good point.
And I have a sucker for it, right? I like it. And, but I had totally forgotten that basically we haven't had a normal Golden Globes since 2020,
right?
Before the pandemic.
Right.
And it snuck in before the pandemic.
Just before.
Because if it's always in January, then it was just before, and less than 2 months later, everything was shut down. But then in 2021, when we were still in the pandemic,
right,
it was a bi-coastal show. I don't know if you remember this. I don't even know if I watched it. But it was, the show was bi-coastal. It aired simultaneously in New York and Los Angeles, and Tina Fey and Amy Poehler were the hosts. I don't have any recollection of that.
I have some vague memories of that. I don't remember watching it, but I do remember, because it was all virtual.
It was all virtual. There was no in-person anything. And I don't, I mean, I really can't remember it at all. And I'm trying to think of what the Oscars did that that year, too. And because I think the Oscars the year before in 2020, because that was, did they sneak that one? No. The timeline of all of these, timeline of award shows. And for a little while, when I was dating someone who wanted to be a director, like, we were watching the, well, not only did we watch everything, but we also saw the movies that were nominated.
Oh.
And so.
That's a big, that can be a big commitment.
That can be a big commitment. So I want to come back to that point in just a second. But just as a reminder, because then, so 2021, they had this bi-coastal weird thing. And then in 2022, there were no awards at all. I mean, there were awards, but they were not televised. Which I totally forgot. And it's because the Hollywood Foreign Press Association got in a little trouble.
Oh, I forgot about this.
And so this is an organization of around 90 U.S.-based journalists who cover entertainment for non-U.S. outlets. And they're the ones who vote. So in for the Oscars, it's the Academy who votes. But this, for the Golden Globes, it's the Hollywood Foreign Press Association.
Right.
And in 2021, the LA Times had an investigation of all of the controversies with the Hollywood Foreign Press Association, which included that the very open secret that members were very much wined and dined and showered with gifts in order to sway their vote. That one of the examples that was listed was the Paramount Network, which produced Emily in Paris for Netflix, bought 30 HFPA members to Paris, brought them to there for two nights at a $1,400 per night hotel. And indeed, the show did land two Golden Globe nominations, which I think a lot of people were like, how the hell is this show nominated? I've never watched that show, but I know people like it, but I think it's a little fluffy.
It is fluffy. I've watched it. If you're looking,
she's beautiful. But
she's gorgeous. And if you're looking for some mindless way to kill in, you know, a couple hours
in the background while you're cleaning.
Yeah,
it's always
fun.
Use a show like that. Okay.
Sure.
Also, there was a system of kickbacks and internal payments for members, and the group also had no Black members at all. So, in the wake of that investigation, they just didn't air it last year. But now,
let's pretend it never happened.
They're back. And so I have to admit, though, I was starting to go through the list, and I would love to know, and we won't do every category, because with the Golden Globes, it's both TV and movies, and then the best movies are split into comedy / musical, and then a separate category.
900 categories.
And like, the Golden Globes has always been chaotic because there's like an open bar. So by the end of the night, some of the antics that the celebrities are getting into and some of the speeches, like, just becomes a side of them that you don't always, and especially before social media, right? Before celebrities kind of like opted in to showing you more of their life on social media, this was kind of a glimpse into them where they were not as prim and proper as they end up being at the Oscars.
Definitely.
But it's also sometimes a indicator of front runners for the Oscars. And next, the 24th. The 24th, the Oscar nominations come out, which I think is a Tuesday. And the following, that Friday, Matt Miller from On Milwaukee, the culture entertainment beat reporter over there, he's going to come on and talk to us about the Oscar nominations. But I was going through this list, and I can't believe how many of these I just have not seen. As someone who I feel like at one point made it an effort to watch all the movies nominated.
Sure.
So, like, just starting with Best Motion Picture for a drama, Avatar, have not seen. Not a ton of interest in seeing.
Me either.
I have seen Elvis. Did you see Elvis?
I did.
I thought it was really good.
It was good.
He was really good in it, and he is nominated. The Fabelmans, that is Steven Spielberg's new movie that's, like, loosely based on his family.
And his life, right.
Michael saw that movie without me, without asking, and now I'm upset because that is one that I want to see, but I have not seen.
Did he like it?
I think I was so taken aback that he saw it without even being like, hey, do you want to see this movie with me? That I don't remember what his answer was, okay, of whether or not it was good. Tar? T?
Oh, it's about a conductor.
Oh.
It's about a female conductor, I believe.
I'm also probably not pronouncing it correctly because it's A with a accent.
Yeah. No, it's
Cate Blanchett.
Cate Blanchett. Yep.
Of course. So that's probably good because everything she does is good.
Yeah.
And then Top Gun Maverick. That was for anyone who's not watching the live stream, that was the silent eye roll from Jane. If you not, it's really good. I know that the fanfare and there's the over in the excitement that grown men had over this because of how much they love the first one, even though the first one really doesn't have a plot at all. I would say this one is better than the original, which you can't say often about movies, that the sequel is better than the original. I don't know. It's a different choice for best film, especially for drama, but I did see that. So I saw 2 out of 5.
That's not terrible.
Where have you saw 1 out of 5?
I saw 1 out of 5.
All right. So then for musical or comedy, for Best Motion Picture, Babylon.
Nope.
Which tanked.
And who was even in that?
Margot Robbie. So this is like the new entertainment
franchise?
No, that's not a franchise. It's that the buzz around Margot Robbie, who is an excellent actress. She's stunning. I love her. But this is like multiple movies in a row that she's been the headliner that has tanked. And so people are saying maybe she can't carry a movie.
Can't pull it.
Because also Brad Pitt is in this movie. I forgot there's another pretty famous person, but she's kind of like the person prominently in all the marketing.
The big
for the
star.
Film. It's got good reviews, but I have not seen it. The Banshees of Inisherin?
Is a comedy?
Is a comedy. I have not heard anything about that movie.
Nothing.
I'm looking it up right now. Two lifelong friends find themselves at an impasse when one abruptly ends their relationship with alarming consequences for both of them. It looks like it's an Irish film because the Brendan Gleeson and Colin Farrell are the two main actors. It looks like a lot of Irish actors in this. And the Irish are funny.
So, oh, yeah.
Very funny. So I could
check that out.
Hadn't heard of it, but I'd go see it. Haven't heard of this one either. Everything, Everywhere, All at Once?
No clue.
No clue. But nominated. And this is just like, I feel like I read a lot. And I'm so surprised I haven't heard of this one or the next one, Triangle of Sadness. Hadn't heard of that either.
Mm-mm.
The one that I have heard that I started to watch, but I was like, this is annoying. I started to try to watch Glass Onion, A Knives Out Mystery. And the first, and it's like chock full of stars. The cast is incredible. Have you watched this?
I have.
Did you like it?
I liked it up to a point.
What does that mean?
I liked it. I liked the first quarter of it. And then the rest was all explainer.
Which is kind of how Knives Out was, right?
Yeah. I guess I would have, it seemed a little slow. It just seemed a little slow to me in the last half of the film. But I thought the plot was really interesting.
Like, I couldn't, and these are good actors.
Daniel Craig and Janelle Monáe.
But within the first 10 minutes, the whole setup of Kate Hudson's character, I was like, geez, so, this is so annoying.
Dave Bautista's in it.
Yeah. And so I don't know if I should get another chance, but I just think it's interesting. So that's for movies. And so between all 10 that are nominated, and it'll be interesting because now there is 10 nominations for the Oscars. Which of these 10 will also be there, or which ones have gotten left out? What have we said then? I've out of the 10, I've only seen two.
And I've seen one.
No, I've seen two. You've seen two, which is wild. And I don't know if that's a reflection on us or what gets nominated. But I don't know how many movies I even see anymore because there's so much streaming.
Yeah, and it seems like a marketing failure to not even have heard of some of these films. But then again, we were talking about this off the air yesterday. I rarely watch regular broadcast television unless it's the news. So, but they run ads online, you know, they run trailers online and stuff. Yeah. And I didn't hear anything about most of those movies.
All right, well, then how about TV shows? So, best television series for drama, Better Call Saul, which I've watched, but I have not watched the most recent season.
I know of it.
The Crown.
Know of it.
You haven't watched that?
I watched the early episodes.
Okay.
When Liz was young.
Okay. House of the Dragon, I did watch.
I watched some of it.
Ozark, I did watch. That's wild. This is... God, time is so weird. That was only last year that they had their final season. Okay, so Ozark... I've watched, and Severance.
Never seen Severance.
I saw an interesting tweet the other day of like how streaming and so much content has broken the social contract of like the water cooler conversation. Because it was someone who had seen, they're like, I've seen Severance and I want someone to talk about it with. But because there isn't those kind of like juggernaut shows, like Game of Thrones was that for a while. I'm sure West Wing, I don't know. You know, there was a time where there was more. All right.
Breaking Bad was Breaking Bad.
Yeah. And of a time when we all kind of agreed that most people were watching this and had opinions on it. But there's so much. And I'm not saying what's great is for the actors and the actual entertainers and the writers. And there is so much work.
Yeah.
And there's so much opportunity to get your work made. But the dilution of audience is trying to find someone else who's seen this good thing that you just saw or listened to or whatever. And be like, hey, let's talk about it. It's like, I have no idea what you're talking about. You're like, well, darn it. All right. The music's playing me off. So we're going to take one more break.
Wrap up this
speech. We're going to wrap it up. Come back. This is Asgo's Wisconsin.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. always on the Civic Media app.
We have to really understand how critically important a time this is. Time for talk is over. The time for action is now. Because my voice has always been and will continue to be for people who don't have a voice.
Tune in to the Earl Ingram Show every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Only on WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, The Shaw.
Being a father is an honor, a challenge, a duty, a celebration, and a testimony. I want to be legendary for you because I found everything to live for.
That's dedication.
Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. A mix of clouds and sun this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 43. Winds out of the south around 5 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight. Lows level off around 28. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 40. About an inch of snow Thursday through Thursday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 43 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM. Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin as we wrap up today's show. Just a reminder that you can listen to today's show as a podcast. Take it with you while you're working out, while you're walking your dog, while you're cleaning your house, while you're driving. Many different ways. And you can always find that anywhere you find podcasts or on asgoeswisconsin.com/listen. And also, if you have a topic that you think we should talk about, feel free to email us at asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us.
You got
I wanted to say Gmail because that's what it used to be, but now we have a civicmedia.us.
Just email. For As Goes Wisconsin. Yeah.
Just for As Goes Wisconsin. So feedback, topic ideas, guest ideas, let us know. And then tomorrow, Greg Bach will be here. And I've been saving some topics because I feel like there's some stuff that's going to be really fun to talk about with him. One is TikTok getting banned off state devices, but also remembering the time when Furbies were also banned in the 90s.
I forgot about that.
So we will talk about the classified information people were afraid that Furbies could retain and say back, and why those got banned. And then we also want to talk about some of the constitutional amendments to the Wisconsin Constitution that are getting fast-tracked, none of which are allowing citizens to vote on binding referendums. It's things about cash bail. It's things about how the governor can spend money. So we'll talk about that tomorrow.
Just call it the Republicans' wish list.
Yeah. But so that's, we'll talk more about that with Greg. But it's also National Milk Day. So
tomorrow.
Tomorrow is National Milk Day. So maybe we'll have some
big day of celebration.
Big glasses of milk instead of
set up a fountain.
But we had some breaking news, I guess if you can call it news. During the break, Alan Weisselberg is going to jail for 5 months. As a reminder, if you are like, why do I know that name? He was Trump's longtime chief financial officer, and he served for three generations.
Been there forever.
Was there forever. And he was the one who was getting avoiding taxes because of certain things that were getting paid for, so it was not part of his salary.
Have a car.
A car.
Have some tuition for your kids' private school.
Yes. And but he is going to jail for 5 months, and then as soon as his sentence is over, he's leaving the company altogether. 5 months doesn't feel that long.
5 months isn't that long. He had faced up to 15 years in prison.
Yeah.
And he pled guilty to 15 counts, including tax fraud, conspiracy, and grand larceny. And I understand that you get a lighter sentence if you cooperate, which he did, but 5 months doesn't seem like nearly enough. Doesn't. The company was involved in this kind of fraud for decades.
And so does this come back to being part of the plea deal that he had, or is this just light sentencing by the judge who decided this is what sounds fair because you're 75 years old and you cooperated and this is just this is my decision?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you have to assume that there were some dealings going on behind the scenes. You know, you give us what we want and we'll make sure it's less than a year.
Yeah.
Don't they make deals like that all the time? I've never been in that position, knock on wood, so I don't know.
Well, it's just so infuriating because this idea that for some, you know, the mandatory sentences for certain crimes and in certain states, and just the inconsistency in which crimes, like sentences that fit the crime, whether they're drug related or violent related or tax related and stuff, of just there is, it seems sometimes like there is no rhyme or reason, shy of taking someone's life. But even then, I don't know, because it, or when it comes to mandatory sentencing, like how much is that up to the states versus federal law? Because this does feel, I mean, that's less time than we have to carry a baby around. That's not very long.
And doesn't it just seem like, I mean, there is a different system for white collar criminals.
Yeah, totally. And despite the fact that certain crimes, I'm not sure, this one feels like it's so much, had this just been some random company and not Trump's company, I don't know if it would still be just as illegal of what they were doing. It wouldn't be as in the headlines as much as it was.
Certainly it wouldn't be.
This was tied to Trump and all of his dealings. But some, you know, defrauding people and, you know, all the stuff that's happening with FTX. And I've followed that less just because crypto feels really out of my, when we talk about staying in your lane, I never got in the crypto lane. So now remarking on the crypto lane feels like we should wait until there is someone who actually knows what they're talking about to come on and explain it. But that seems like the new Bernie Madoff. Like the way that story is unraveling.
Yes.
Of the deception and bribery and so much of what is going to come out with that situation. Like real people got hurt. And so while that is a white collar crime, the fact that when there are real implications for people that it's treated like you can ruin people's lives and only have to go to jail for like 5 months.
Yeah. Bernie Madoff is an exception.
Certainly. But I was just, I'm more of like the way this
in general,
this is starting to be propped up of what, how far reaching this sounds like from the little I do understand about it is in the same way. Cause that was what over, was that 15 years ago now?
Bernie Madoff,
when the whole thing came crumbling down around him.
Yeah.
There's a new Netflix documentary about that. And I kind of want to go watch it because I feel like that's something because it's something that has longevity in referential memory of, you know, referring to Bernie Madoff and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as being, for me at least, being young enough that I don't remember the details of all of it. So that might be in my watch list after all of the things that are nominated for the Gold Globes tonight.
Got a lot of catching up to do today, girl.
I have to go watch. But that'll about do it for us today. We're going to do a very fun show tomorrow. Lots of fun topics. Greg will be here. But for now, if you can stick around for Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Unless you're listening to WXCO in Wausau, then you got the Chad Holmes Show coming up next. But as always, thank you for spending time with us today. Thank you for listening to As Goes Wisconsin. Tune back in tomorrow at 11 or between 11 and 2 when we will do this all again. This has been As Goes Wisconsin.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new?
Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.